We are so pleased to have our next guest, Colonel Michael Lewis, M.D. He is a an interviewer. He's a former U.S. military infectious disease hunter. He graduated from the military academy. He served as an intelligence officer. He's been the doctor to some of the most high-level people in the Department of Defense and what have you. He speaks routinely, and we're excited to have him on. Dr. Lewis, welcome back to the Power Hour.
It's great to be with you again.
Yes, well, today is the day in America, or I guess yesterday, where the vaccines are starting to come out. What comes to your mind when you see that lady in Houston, Ohio, wherever it was, roll up her sleeve and get that vaccine? What goes to your mind?
Honestly, thank God it's her, not me. There's always some unknowns, if you will. There have been medications, you know, pharmaceuticals that have come out. There's been vaccines that have been on the market for years and have been pulled off the market when they were found to have too many side effects. So the fact that we rush this, A, is amazing. I've been saying since the spring, and people were talking about the only way out of this is a vaccine. I'm like, I don't see it. The vaccine technology, unless there's a huge leap in technology, I don't see how we're going to have a vaccine. We've been trying to create, you know, vaccines against coronaviruses for dozens of years and never been successful. I guess we took a leap in technology. So I'm excited that A, there's a possibility that this is going to work, and B, I hope it does. I really do, because it's one potential way out of this. But realize these are respiratory viruses. They've been around longer than mankind. They'll be around long after we're gone.
You mentioned testing for decades. For literally almost two decades, they've been trying some sort of /SARS/coronavirus vaccine. They have not been successful. Animal testing, from what I've been told, you would know better. Animal testing has not gone well. They have not. There's been so many side effects. Now here we are in 5 months. Boom, boom, like a magic pill. All these problems are solved. I mean, is this coming to market because of the emergency measures, or do you think there's been really a legitimate leap forward, or you don't know?
I'll say I don't know. I'm not on the inside as far as this. So based on my knowledge of living and working for the U.S. Army in Asia during a time of SARS, and in having done 20, been in the research community, medical research community for 20 plus years, I think it's a combination of both. I think in normal times, if there ever is such a thing, there's no way that this would have reached the market in a matter of months. It would have been, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 years would have been really, you know, warp speed prior to COVID. But I think it's a combination of the two. I think that there must have been some leaps in technology when we really put our brain power towards it. But I don't think there's no way that this would have come to be put into people so quick without emergency powers.
That does not calm me down. that didn't make me feel any better, Doctor.
I'd be happy to be in the second or third wave of immunizations. I personally am not going to be, you know, running out looking for it. I feel like we have missed the opportunity to really address this in much more holistic ways. I mean, everything that I'm reading is showing that early intervention and even prophylactic type of intervention with things such as, you know, solid nutritional supplements is supporting the immune system can make all the difference in the world. And we have completely ignored that. We're the most obese population in the world. We're ignoring that. The public health messages that should have been going out from all levels of leadership should have been, you better start taking care of yourself and do the things that are going to support your immune system. That's the way that we're going to truly get out of this at the back end.
It seems like common sense has been pushed aside here on many levels. You just mentioned, I mean, nutrition, supporting your immune system, that's common sense. This, even the idea of the name pandemic, okay, I want to get your response and your thoughts on this. Oh, there is a pandemic. There is a health crisis. Okay, all right, let's take that on its face level, on its face value. When you look at the death numbers from 2020 to 2019 in the United States, 2018, they're very similar. More people are not dying. I'm having a hard time saying that this is a pandemic when the death numbers are relatively the same. Am I wrong here? Am I out in left field?
Well, just like everything 2020 has thrown at us, from elections to the social unrest, there's a lot of truth and there's a lot of mystery about things. And so, unfortunately, we've become so politicized in now our healthcare that it's hard to believe, know what to believe. So, interestingly enough, most of the vital statistics, as we call them, the idea of how many people died from heart disease, how many people died of stroke, how many people died of this cancer or that cancer, those statistics aren't usually known for a couple of years, you know, two years or so after the fact, after they have a chance to analyze it. So, to put forth some of these numbers and the fact that we're getting a day to day, hour to hour count of how many people supposedly died of COVID, I don't have a lot of great faith in statistics, and I created one of the main systems that's being used in this whole pandemic, if you will, to track these things. And
really?
I can tell you, I built this system. I don't have a lot of faith in the value because, as the old adage goes in computer world, right? Garbage in, garbage out. And that's what I think we're facing.
So basically, you helped this, for lack of tracking, basically death tracking or case tracking. What would you call this system?
Well, 20 years ago, I created a system called the Essence Program. And it was the idea that people don't go to the emergency room with a diagnosis of COVID or a diagnosis of X, Y, or Z. They go to the emergency room or to the clinic because they have symptoms. So I figured out a way to let's track the symptoms and look at it in a historic basis to see if they, and this can be done for symptoms, it could be done with anything, but you look at it and compare it to historic data and you're tracking the average plus or minus, you know, a standard deviation or two. And when something goes out of that range, you pick up the phone and you call local authorities and say, hey, there's something wrong here. We need to look into it. So it was an early warning system to let us know when there was an outbreak. And our first test of that, even a couple weeks after we went live in December of 99, so now 21 years ago, that all of a sudden there was a big spike in respiratory illness and fever. Picked up the phone, called the emergency room. Sure enough, they were seeing a spike of flu. And we were able to detect that in 1 or 2 days, whereas the CDC was taking 6 to 8 weeks to figure that out at that time. And we were able to figure it out in 1 or 2 days based Wow. on the symptoms. And we looked at the historic data, and it matched exactly what influenza looks like, except it was a couple weeks early. Normally, you know, every year it's different, but the average peak of influenza is not until mid-February. And we were seeing this in December of 99. So what it was an exact curve that matched influenza.
That's fascinating. I'm not even sure what to ask you at this point when it comes to this specific question, because I watch corporate media very little, but when I do, you know, it's a channel like MSN. They got a number in the bottom. They're scaring you. I mean, it's like in your face all the time. It's like hanging over you like a sword or something. Is there any value in this kind of presentation anymore? I don't even know what I'm trying to ask you here, but do you see my point? It's just confusing.
Let me run with this for a minute. You know,
sure.
When we were kids, you got the morning newspaper and you might have watched the evening news or your parents watched the evening news. That was about it, right? The amount of news hasn't changed. There's still only a half hour, an hour worth of news even reporting. And if you ever watch the evening news, it's, you know, even back then it was like, oh, we're kind of done with the news. We'll throw in the weather. We'll throw in sports, you know, just to make up an entire hour. What do we have now? We have 24 hours of news.
That's on such a good point.
6,000 stations on cable. And if you don't get enough of that, then you've got social media in your face all the time. And so it's not 24 hours of news. It's 30 minutes of news and 23 and a half hours of opinion about the news. We don't report the news anymore. We report the opinion about the news, and you got to learn to turn it off. We've talked about, you know, limiting screen time for kids, or even when we were young, the boob tube, the
boob
box,
tube.
Right?
Oh my gosh, the boob! Get off the boob tube! Get outside!
Yeah, I mean, it's, you're gonna watch too much TV. It's gonna make you dumb, right? you know, and now, you know, fast forward to, you know, recent times. It's, you know, the big thing was, how do we limit screen time for kids who are constantly on iPads and playing games? You know, how do you? Well, honestly, we need to start limiting screen time for adults. And that's where we need to go. If you want to do the best thing you can do to limit your stress, put down all this interaction with the world. Go outside. Go do something. Go garden. Go take a walk in the woods. Go do something for your mental health that's actually going to help you. This exposure 24 hours a day is literally killing us.
Let me ask you about pandemic straightforward. Do you consider this a pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. This is a, no doubt, this, I do not want to minimize this. This is a serious virus. It's killing hundreds of thousands of people around the world. It is incredibly serious. If you've ever known anybody, friends or family that have gotten sick and hopefully, you know, survived it, but, you know, people are dying of this and it is not trivial, but then again, it's also not the end of the world. This is not the plague. This is not bring out your dead. You know, this is a respiratory virus that in an underlying otherwise healthy person can be pretty either asymptomatic or not really significant. And yet we, you know, there's some genetics that we don't probably know yet why some people do get very sick. And get back to sort of my early comment is, why aren't we being more aggressive about early treatment or even prophylaxis with more of a holistic approach? Unfortunately, I think we're victims of our own circumstances. You know, we got the greatest generation. We got rid of Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, and we put a man on the moon, and we cured, you know, we eliminated smallpox, and we got immunizations for this, that, and the other. Penicillin, we can cure, you know, any disease, basically. At one point, and I think in the late 1960s, the Surgeon General of the United States said, infectious diseases are a thing of the past. You know, so we were rolling back malaria, and we are victim of our own success, and that there's nothing, you know, nothing we can't do and engineer our way out of. And we kind of ignore it. We think that we can live a horrible lifestyle and take a magic pill that'll make us lose 50 pounds. I mean, that's just unfortunately how we've become very jaded about this, right? It doesn't matter how I eat, I can just eat like a pig and take my cholesterol medicine, I'll be fine.
Why don't we, I mean, you are you know, you've practiced medicine and do practice medicine at some of the highest levels in this country, some of the most sensitive positions in this country. Why doesn't the medical community talk more about prophylactics, more about nutrition, more about more common sense things to help your body deal with these issues?
Well, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, it's two things. It's as you've heard a thousand times before, always follow the money, number one. Number two is people just want to live their life and have the magic solution handed to them. And they don't want to do the work. They don't want to take the responsibility for themselves. I mean, health is a responsibility. Health is not the absence of disease. They're two very different things.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is profound. That is so profound.
It's like somebody that goes to court and you say they're guilty or innocent. No, they're not. They're either guilty or not guilty. Innocent and not guilty aren't the same thing either. Health and absence of disease are not the same thing.
Wow. That's profound. Anyway, go ahead. I don't want to stop you. I'm just in awe. I mean, it's very rare I hear a profound statement that really shocks me here. But go ahead. That's profound.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I take the approach, I think that people that are very cavalier about this disease are just as wrong as the people who are hunkered down and think the sky is falling. It's kind of like politics. Both sides on the extremes are wrong. The real answer, the real way forward is somewhere in the middle. And we have to learn to live life. And infectious diseases, respiratory diseases, viruses, they've been around longer than mankind. They are going to be here long after we're gone. We have to learn how to coexist with them, just as we've had to learn to coexist with influenza over the last 100+ years. We don't throw up our hands and lock everything down and ruin our entire economy every time there's a little bit of flu and 50,000 people die in a year from influenza.
So why are we now? I mean, you're getting right to where I'm going here. Why are we doing that now?
I wish I had a good explanation. I think a bit of it is that just that concept, that fear of the unknown, because this is an unknown virus. We didn't know where it hit us totally out of the blue. The Chinese government screwed over the entire world, honestly. They hit it until it was too late. That's a big difference. With SARS, SARS kind of popped out in 2003. It came out through Hong Kong for the most part. Well, Hong Kong had just been turned over from the British a couple of years before. Very open society. So we knew about SARS early on. It wasn't as infectious as this virus, but we knew about it early on, early enough that we could actually contain it. Well, by the time we knew about COVID, it was way too late. It came out of Wuhan. Wuhan's in the heart of communist China. They control everything, about information and coincided with Chinese New Year and people were flying, millions of people flying around the world. It was the perfect scenario for this whole thing to get spread you have the WHO and China coming out saying, oh, it doesn't get transmitted person to person. There were so many lies and deceptions at the beginning until it was undeniable. And, the horse was already out of the barn, if you will.
What do you know or what? We only got a couple minutes before the break, and this is probably a bigger question. We've had Nobel Prize winning scientists look at this virus and say, without question, this is some sort of geoengineered / man-made virus. Your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I hear both sides. I hear many sides of this. And so honestly, I don't know. The only stance I'll take against this is at this point, it doesn't matter. At this point, we've got a global problem with a serious disease the origin of it, that's for people far beyond my pay grade, if you will, to try to figure out if they can ever figure it out, because the Chinese government's not cooperating. So we may never know, but what we got to deal with is what we have today, and that's how we need to move forward.
How do, in your, again, we're coming on a break any moment, we'll finish it on the other side. How, in your estimation, is the best way to handle this?
I think that we're in for a rough next couple months. Like I said earlier, the influenza doesn't typically peak until February. Doesn't mean we don't have some in November and December and January, but we probably have, and I don't know if we'll even see a peak, because it's, that data is going to be hidden so much within the COVID data. So we're in for a rough couple months. I think people need to take personal responsibility, and that means getting outside and exercising, getting fresh air, eating healthy, losing the weight that they need to lose. I'm a huge fan. I'll give you my quick before the break. I'll give you my quick recipe, if you will, for what do you need? You need vitamin C, you need vitamin D, you need zinc, you need fish oil. And you need quercetin, I think, is sort of my magic sauce there. Quercetin's a supplement over the counter. It's basically the flavonoids that you get from the skin of an apple, if you will. So, gee, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Remember that one? We can concentrate that good stuff. So those are the five things I take on a daily basis. And I up them dramatically if I'm feeling like I'm getting something. And if somebody, a friend of mine, sick, we go big doses on those. And it
there's
works,
the music.
Worked every time so far.
There's the music. There's the break. We'll be back more with Dr. Lewis. We're going back to the boob tube, mom, and apple a day. I mean, grandma looks way smarter every day, doesn't she?
Oh, absolutely.
Stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour. DrMichaelLewisMD.com is his website.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a vitamin toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. The Power Mall is our great website where all these products, you know, Dr. Michael Lewis, a very high-level doctor. I mean, the highest levels of the Defense Department in the government has been operating and handled some of our key people. CD, zinc, fish oil, and quercetin, what he recommended, very close to what other people, I would throw in magnesium and maybe a few other things, but CD, zinc, fish oil, and quercetin, all at the Power Mall. Among other things, the Strauss Heart Drops on sale. That quercetin, I can't wait to get it. Catherine's supposed to send me some. I have not tried it yet, but, yeah. I mean, your health is your responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what else to say. We have been let down. We've been, used in some degree. Our medical problems, our medical issues. It's been turned into money. It's been turned into control. It's been turned into political lobbies. Some of the biggest in the world, probably the biggest in the world, beside the military industrial complex lobby. So there you go. Information shows like this help you to make decisions for you. And that's what we want. The power is you. This is the Power Hour. We want you to have the power. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for buying from the good guys. Continue, please, to buy from the good guys. That's what allows independent thought. That's what allows us to have these type of interviews. If you want gift wrapping for Christmas, these are great gifts to give people. It's a great way to wake somebody up to you know, give them a fantastic product that's going to help them in their life. That helps them to see the world in a little different manner and maybe progress their life to be happy. Happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. That's what we want. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. If you want stuff gift wrapped, please, you know, get on that. Call pretty quick. And we will be closed second half of next week. Obviously, it's, what's the date? Yeah, it's Christmas is next week, right, Todd? Am I losing my cat? Yes, it's next week, right. Is the end of next week. So get your orders in and be well. Be happy, be healthy, and free. That's what we want you. So anyway, getting back to our guest, Dr. Michael Lewis, MD.com is his website. I asked him, you know, is there anything you want want me to promote? Is there anything, you know, besides your website, what have you? And he just said, you know, I just want people to have information. I want people to be able to make better decisions with good, honest, straightforward information. And I love it. And that's why we have him on. We're very happy to have him on again. It's a great time having him yet. Last time he was on. You're in a very high level. You operate in a very high level in the government as far as medicine around some certain people. What is the general consensus? Does everybody think like you, you know, more into a holistic approach, more into a naturalistic, hey, let's calm down a second, or do they even want to hear this type of conversation?
Well, it could go both ways. There are certain, you know, groups that look at things, trying to get more of a functional medicine, a holistic approach, and even training in those areas into the VA and the DOD medical systems. But, you know, it's certainly been butting heads. I mean, I've been at this for a good, 14, 15 years, both when I was on active duty and since I retired. I got to tell you, I mean, I have numerous friends who are four-star generals, guys that I grew up with in the Army and were my roommates or running mates. And these are the guys that are literally in charge of the Army these days, plus people and, you know, various buildings and agencies around the Beltway. And I can tell you, I mean, I'll give you an example. I really had where I really got into this was the idea of using nutrition, and particularly fish oil, omega-3s, to help our soldiers recover from traumatic brain injury. And I literally got told at one point at the military's medical school that if I wanted to continue that line of support, they would not support me and I need to go somewhere else. At the same time, I had four-star generals. I can tell you, anybody knows me, anybody I'm friends with, they take fish oil on a daily basis. And one particular high-level general, I literally helped a sister get her life back just with fish oil. And yet, you know, so these guys, they do it on a personal basis, but getting it to an institutional basis is a whole different ballgame. I mean,
why?
I've been called names and liar, you know, and all kinds of things from two and three star generals that, you know, told that, you know, what I'm talking about is voodoo, witchcraft, or snake oil.
Hold on. So you, I guess you're in different meetings or different roundtables or discussions, whatever. You bring up some of the things that have been worked for other people. Hey, why don't we try this? Why don't we look at this? And two-star generals, three-star generals are telling you that you're a liar. This is voodoo. What the hell are you doing? Is that basically what they've told you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really? God. Are they doctors? Are they doctors or are they just generals?
I'll tell you a quick little story. Before I was still on active duty, and I did a research study with the NIH, with a colleague at the NIH, and we drew.
Is his name Fauci? Was his name Fauci?
No, his name wasn't Fauci. But we were able to get military blood, basically, from there's like 60, 70 million blood samples that are frozen sitting in a freezer in suburban Maryland, and with all the DOD's data behind it. And I knew about this. I knew the guy that started. I knew it intimately. Let's put it that way. So the NIH and I, my colleague, we pulled 1,800 or 1,600 samples, 800 well-documented suicides and 800 well-matched controls of these bloods over a period after 9/11, after, you know, starting in 2002. And the 800 blood samples we wanted were from people who had documented suicides. And I was able to show, we were able to show that low levels of omega-3s in the blood correlated to a 62% increased risk of suicide.
Whoa.
And this is when suicides were in the headline news all the time. And I floated this up to the Army Surgeon General at the time, and it got sent back. I don't believe it. It's BS. So we let's go through the numbers again, make sure we know what we're talking about. We did. Through another way, somebody else went, the Surgeon General's got to know about this. And so it floated up. Same thing. And then I started getting, somebody was on the inside and sending me some of the emails that were going back and forth between the two-star general who was in charge of all medical research for the military and the Army Surgeon General, and basically saying, I don't know what I'm talking about, and ignore it. And then it ended up not only publish it, but then.
I'm sorry. Hold on. The general was saying that, or the Surgeon General of the Army was saying that about you?
There was some emails back and forth.
Oh, so they both were. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get the story straight.
The head of the research command was a cardiologist, and he, I think they might have both been cardiologists, but anyway, I ended up publishing it again, ends up on the front page of USA Today and headline news and all that. And about the same time, there was a traumatic brain injury conference, and now all of a sudden the vice chief of staff of the Army, a four-star, the number two guy, he's getting hounded by the press. What about this, this report in the USA Today about suicides in the military? What are you doing about it? And this and the other. And he comes walking by, and I grabbed him. I said, "Hey, sir, I'm the one that's causing you all these problems." And he, to his credit, come to my office and brief me on what I need to know. Well, I started to, a couple of days later, and I could tell you it was a Wednesday night. And I'm showing him the science, and he stops me and says, "Is this your opinion?" And I'm like, "No, this is the science. Here are the citations and stuff." And he goes, "Well, what's the downside?" I'm like, "It's fish oil. There is no downside." And he goes, "Well, that's not what the Surgeon General tells me." And I'm like, "Well, what does he tell you?" And he starts to tell me something. I started laughing. I was 3 weeks away from retirement at this point. I didn't have anything to lose. I just started laughing.
One day from retirement, buddy. You didn't just know it. You're about 1 hour from retirement. Anyway, go ahead.
And he says, "What's so funny?" And it just slipped out. I said, "He's full of shit."
Oh, jeez.
And he goes, "You're telling me that Lieutenant General, 3-star general, Army Surgeon General, with an MD and a PhD in nutrition from Harvard, doesn't know what he's talking about?" And I said, "Yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm telling you." I'm not afraid to speak the truth. It's just not everybody wants to listen. So actually what I did is I pulled a bottle of fish oil out of my pocket, and I said, "All right, General, I'll prove it to you. Take this way over the next 2 days. There's only 2 days supply in here. You're going to take a dose I put a 19-year-old on that got blown up by an IED." Well, that's why I know it was a Wednesday, because Saturday morning I get a call from his scientific advisor saying the general's on his way to buy more fish oil. What should he get? And wow. I was like, "Did he have any side effects?" "No." "Did he notice a difference?" "Yes." And she said, "Not only did he notice a difference," this is a quote, "Not only did he notice a difference, his staff noticed a difference, and most importantly, his wife noticed a difference." That was just in 2 days.
Well, the wife can overcome the Surgeon General. that's it. I mean, that's solved. I am fascinated by this. This is a fascinating story. Is there a happy ending to this? I mean, how did this resolve?
It resolved in me retiring and saying, "I have tried my best for years to change the culture of the Army, and I have not succeeded, and it's not worth my mental health and frustration."
Beating your head against the wall.
I was giving myself a traumatic brain injury, beating my head against the wall.
All right, now I'm going to ask you straightforward. I don't know. Well, you've been pretty straightforward. Maybe you'll answer it also. Why in the world is the Surgeon General of the military so obstinate and so obviously biased and ridiculous towards this position and not even willing to listen to you?
I didn't know him personally, so I can't answer that in specific. Certainly that was a number of surgeons general ago. I've had some discussions on some of the COVID stuff with the current Army Surgeon General. But we've never really actually sat down and talked about this. It's the strangest thing. Like I said, if I sit down with you one-on-one, I can convince you pretty much every single time that this is a good thing and it's worth trying. But getting this institutionalized has just been the biggest headache. But interestingly,
I'm not trying to create a controversy here. Is it a sense of this is the way we've done it for so long, we've gone in this momentum, this is the way, or is it we're so influenced by Big Pharma, they're so in the medical schools, what have you, their influence, or is it even more nefarious, it's, hey, we're controlled by Big Pharma?
I don't think it's we're controlled by Big Pharma. I like to make my point. I guess I'm a parable kind of guy. I'll tell you another story. So I got to be pretty good friends with at the time the leading neurologist in the Army, the smartest guy in the room, kind of, you know, MD, PhD. Just unbelievably the most intelligent person you could ever imagine meeting. And he and I were both colonels in the Army, and we would have coffee every once in a while. And one day he says to me, you're never going to be successful. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, the university, the medical school, just got a $70 million grant to stand up a new research center to try to figure out and define the problem of traumatic brain injury. I'm like, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? He goes, yeah, except you've already got a 5-cent solution. You skipped over the problem and you have a 5-cent solution. He goes, they're never going to support you because you're going to kill the cash cow. Because you skipped over the problem and you already have been trying to implement a solution.
Sure enough,
I got called into the vice president of research's office about 2 weeks after that and told if I wanted to continue that line of research, I needed to go somewhere else. They would not support me.
I don't even know what to say at this point. I mean, we have guests. Not everybody's quite like you, but we have guests from different fields at different angles of this. You have a certain perspective, very unique, very, you're bringing a little bit of inside baseball here at the highest levels. They're all telling the same story. And what I'm getting from it is I really can't trust the medical industry. I have to basically be my own health advocate and listen to shows like this and have some independent thought and have to take responsibility for my own health. It's really up to me. That's the conclusion I've come to. Am I wrong?
Not at all. Nobody's going to look out for your health like you. And if you don't want to look out for it, then maybe you deserve to get what you get.
Ooh, jeez.
Sorry, that might have been a little harsh, I guess.
No, but I think it's reality. I think it's reality, isn't it? Isn't that what we're seeing?
Well, it is what we're seeing. If you think that the government's going to just bail you out financially and health-wise, we've got some safety net systems, like Social Security and disability and stuff like that, which are absolutely, I think, vitally important. It's a huge step forward in taking care of our own.
Well, we pay for it. We pay for that. Anyway, go ahead.
But ultimately, it's about personal responsibility. If you're not taking the responsibility for your own health, and maybe that was the way we were brought up. It just wasn't discussed or whatever. I've seen so many people who have made, on the very positive side, made an incredible difference in their life, even, in their middle age, by changing their diet and getting really strict about it and literally changed their life for the good. So it's never too late to take that responsibility and to make a difference.
We have about, seven or eight minutes left of the show. It's been really good talking to you, as always. I hope that you've liked this, liked these questions. I hope I haven't put you on the spot too much, but I've really enjoyed having you on.
You know, if I think the next administration wants to call me up and ask me to serve, my first response is always, yes, I want to continue to serve the country as I have my entire life. But I don't know if I would necessarily pass any kind of a Senate investigation.
Yeah, as soon as fish oil comes up, that would be it. I'm going to change gears slightly, kind of go back to where we started. The former vice president of Pfizer was, I think, head of their immunology department. He's raised the question about this new vaccine. He asked a very, I think, needed question that I don't know why everybody's not asking. This is the RNA vaccine. It goes in and reprograms your RNA to attack a certain protein that has to do with the coronavirus. His question was, this is the exact same protein that is in a developing placenta. So now your body is engineered to attack this protein. Is this going to cause sterility? Obviously, there's a million different questions that are wrapped up in that. Is that an important question to ask? Because it sure is to me.
I think there's about 1,000 questions that need to be asked. Now, the FDA, they could get a bad rap, but their first priority should be and has always been the safety. Not necessarily that a drug works, but that it's at least safe. Hopefully, that it works. And so
ask the Vioxx people about that. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Right, but the difference is, with Vioxx, and this is where I was going exactly, is, we have this system of, you hear about phase one, phase two, phase three clinical trials before things get approved. Well, what most people don't realize is there's post-approval surveillance that goes on all the time. And so we may not know that, if you test the vaccine in 10,000 people and it looks like it works and it looks like it's safe or at least safe enough, that's very different, 10,000 people versus 10 or 100 million people. When you've got 100 million people and all of a sudden, like Vioxx, you find out, well, yeah, it helps most people, but it kills, a bunch of other people. That was post-marketing surveillance. And that's a really, really important thing that I hope we don't lose in our expediting, trying to engineer our way out of this.
Do you have doubts about this testing? Because I have so many people on here talk about these studies, these pre-distribution studies like you're mentioning. And they're manipulated. They're, depends on who's funding the thing. The elderly people are out of the COVID vaccine test. The people who are most at risk, some of the first people who are getting this are being excluded. I mean, I'm hearing all this and I'm just so suspicious of this process. Is that unfounded or am I being paranoid or what?
Well, I think you should be suspicious. I think paranoid might be a little over the top, but, I think suspicious and constantly inquisitive. Why not? You're a citizen just like I am, and we live in a mostly free society. We're not living in a society like communist China where you can't express these thoughts. So I think you should be
except on suspicious. The internet.
So anyway, as citizens, we should be questioning these things. Now to then react to it violently, like, the social movements that we've been seeing over this past year, that's wrong. Whatever happened to Martin Luther King and, the idea of, peaceful protesting. We need somebody. We need some leadership at multiple levels. So somebody, the Martin Luther Kings, the John F. Kennedys, the Ronald Reagans. We need, I sure hope that sometime in the next few years we get some seriously high quality leadership that steps forward.
Michael, don't hold, I've been doing this for a while, a different area than you. I mean, don't hold your breath. You're a smart person. You can't even get people when it's plain as day to understand the importance of fish oil. I mean, we're getting, don't you think we're getting more and more pushed into a corner where extremism, quote unquote, or violence, it's not the only alternative, but it's becoming the most direct alternative. I mean, what do you do when your thoughts are suppressed, when you're censored off internet, when you can't bring up fish oil, when you get pushed to the side because you want to heal somebody, when you want to express an opinion about an RNA vaccine may cause problems, I have questions about them manipulating my DNA. I mean, at some point, the solution becomes what? I don't even know what I'm asking you, but, you know, just kind of a commentary of what I see.
I agree. I don't know where it's going. I can only hope and believe that we live in the greatest country that's ever existed. We certainly have our ups and downs. I was just a young boy in, you know, 1968, when things seemed like they were falling apart, and I lived, you know, in a small town in Appalachia, so I wasn't exposed to these things directly. And I kind of wonder, you know, how does this compare to 1968? And there's, you know, there are some comparisons, but there's others that we didn't have this social media and this access to information back then. Again, you got the morning paper and the evening news, and that was plenty enough.
Walter Cronkite, whatever Walter Cronkite said, that was good enough for America. We got about 30 seconds.
Because he reported the news, not his opinion.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Last thought is yours, my friend, and I hope you come on again soon.
Well, the biggest thing is taking responsibility. Your listeners, that's where it is. You have to take personal responsibility for your health and being ahead of things. Don't wait for the government to tell you what to do. You need to take responsibility for your health by nutrition, exercise, good lifestyle, and do what's best for you and your family.
There's the music. It's been really enjoyable to talk to you. I really appreciate your candor. I feel like you've been pretty candid with us, and I've really learned something from it. So God bless you, Michael.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yes. Stay right there.
Your day.
Yes. Stay right there 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you tomorrow. Another great broadcast on the way, and I hope you're getting ready for the holidays. Don't forget, you want the stuff gift wrap, please call the Power Mall, 877-817-9829. Please be prepared. Please take steps. Obviously, this is a crazy world. I want you to skate through it in a good way. The power is yours, and God bless you. We love you. Talk to you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.